You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. Well, Cesar Chavez the man is more complicated than his romanticized legacy as a labor icon, and our next guest deeply understands these two truths, writing the most comprehensive biography of the late labor leader. Miriam Powell is the author of The Crusades of Cesar Chavez. Welcome. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
So there is so much to process. Yesterday must have been just like a tidal wave. How are you today, having more time, some sleep to take in all that was revealed?
Yeah, thank you for asking. It was a kind of certainly an insane day. I think that, I've had conversations with people who knew there are different levels of processing this for people who were part of the movement and were close to Cesar Chavez, for people who were volunteers, who helped as a distance, who were on the boycott, and for people like me who studied the history and have written about it. And I had a conversation with another historian who has written about Cesar Chavez, and we were sort of framing this as another chapter in what has been an ongoing reassessment of his legacy really over the past 10 or 20 years now. For many, many decades, and I think there's a moral in here about hagiography and how we build up heroes and icons. When I first began to sort of write about the farm worker movement, Cesar Chavez was, a name on a park in a schools and a postage stamp, but not really fleshed out in any way. There had not been a comprehensive biography of him, even though he died in 1993. And that was because the people who knew the most and were in a position to write about him understood that this was a very complicated story. And there were a lot of different sides to him, and he did a lot of good and he did a lot of bad. And we can talk about some of the other issues that came up in his history. So this sort of adds a very significant, obviously, chapter to kind of reassessing that, what his legacy really is.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when you joined our show a couple years ago to talk about your biography of Cesar Chavez and the farm worker movement. And I specifically remember back then you cautioned about this idealized version of the labor leader. You know, yes, he did great things, but he should be looked at with scrutiny. Wrapped within that, were you aware that there were potentially sexual assault allegations?
No, I was not aware of the sexual assault allegations. I was aware of adultery, which I wrote about in the book a little bit. That was very well known within the movement. His wife left him at one point for a period of time after intercepting a love letter from an 18-year-old. So 18-year-old is a legal age, but it also raised, I think, some red flags about what he was doing as a married 50-year-old involved with an 18-year-old. So there were those sort of cautionary red flags, but nothing, obviously, to the extent of what was revealed this week.
Yeah, I think a big question for a lot of readers, myself included, is, you know, how people could not know about this. I mean, there, even in that investigation, there was a bodyguard who dropped Cesar Chavez off with a teenager at a motel. You know, now a woman in her 60s, she was telling the New York Times about this. I mean, is there the potential that there was an open secret among, you know, maybe some facets of those with deep ties to this movement and to him?
I think that's a very legitimate question. I mean, there certainly were guards who were with him in all of his travels after the initial sort of, death threats that he received. And, you know, La Paz, where some of the abuse is alleged to have taken place, is a, or was at the time, designed by Chavez as a very intentional community. And a lot of the things that there were other kinds of problems that arose in terms of almost cult-like behavior occurred at La Paz in the 1970s. Sort of, again, this comes in some ways, but you can see how it grew out of some of the cult-like activities that they engaged in at that time. So, I think it's a good question, and maybe we'll find out more about it at some point.
You know, I mentioned those statements from the UFW and the Cesar Chavez Foundation, you know, the day before the investigation was published. They did acknowledge that there were allegations of sexual assault involving minors and young women. But I don't think a lot of people were aware that Dolores Huerta was going to be in this investigation and that she gave an interview to The Times and just a heart-wrenching bombshell to so many people. I mean, how did you take that in?
I agree with you. I think that was one of the more surprising elements, certainly after the UFW and the Chavez Foundation statements. Dolores Huerta, it was a very polarizing figure within the movement at the time. And when you listen to the tape, you know, a lot of the research for my book was done listening to tapes that Cesar Chavez made of executive board meetings and so on. And they were painful to listen to even all these decades later because of the way that Chavez treated people, not just Huerta, but others, and the kind of verbal abuse. So it was clear sort of they had a very complicated relationship. She also, as you know, was married, common law married to Caesar's brother, Richard. And so therefore really part of the family. So obviously, you know, her story is... certainly was a bombshell for many, many people, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I re-listened to an interview I did with her a few years ago before her birthday, which is April 10th, and talking about her history and her formative history with the UFW, how closely she worked with Cesar Chavez. And she did talk about, yes, that they would butt heads a lot. I mean, she said they were both Aries, as she joked, mm-hmm. and it seemed clearly that she... I re-listened to it to see if there was anything there with this knowledge or this hindsight. I mean, and I think other people would do that as well. I mean, have you begun to kind of, I guess, reevaluate with this hindsight, now knowing this revelation with all that you've researched over the decades?
I mean, I'm not sure that I find it to be more consistent to be, I mean, the revelations, particularly about the underage women and some of the other affairs and the threats, the story of Emmy Lopez, who, you know, spurned his advances and then was fired from her job and so forth. And, you know, that kind of retribution, I think, is very consistent with a lot of the things that I listened to and wrote about and read, in the sense of, you know, he was a very vindictive person in terms of trying. I mean, he was a very controlling person. It was a very autocratic organization. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, maybe needs to come out a little bit more in the framing of all of this, is sort of how much it was Cesar Chavez's union. And I will say also, you know, for many years, the UFW lived off of that. I mean, it was Cesar Chavez's union for many, many years after he was long gone and after farm workers in the fields had no idea who Cesar Chavez was. So, you know, I think it's going to be a real process for them. They're going to have to figure out how to separate themselves and function as an independent labor union without relying on the idea that, you know, they are made in the image of Cesar Chavez, if that makes sense.
Well, just this morning, Dolores Huerta gave her first interview since the investigation was published, and it was with Latino USA's Maria Hinojosa. I'm going to play a part where she explains why she kept this a secret for so long.
Well, I guess I have to take personal responsibility for my decisions. I do believe that would have been the end of the movement pretty much at the very, very beginning. And I can see all of the accomplishments, you know, the leadership that came out of the movement, you know, the millions of farm workers that have been helped throughout the United States of America. And it was my personal pain, it was my personal problem. And, you know, I think it was worth it, you know, because it was my cross to bear, I'm going to say it that way.
Can you just take us back to that place in time. Dolores Huerta is the second kind of next to Cesar Chavez, but at a time when sexism is very ripe and having a woman like as part of the UFW in such a high stature. Also at a time, she said this in the investigation, that she didn't want to tell police because of the relationship and the fraught relationship with law enforcement at this time. If you can help us visualize that time in the 1960s.
Sure. And I think I think there's also a much larger point that she addresses that is very important and important for people to think about going forward. And that has to do with the ethos of keeping things secret in order to protect a cause or a movement that you believe in deeply. And what she talks about in that respect, I think resonates with so many people that I talk to who are part of the movement, who experience things that in retrospect they felt like, I should have said something, I should have stood up, I should have protected this person when they were attacked, not physically but verbally. And that was very, it was a very heady time in some sense. I mean, obviously it was a very hard time for women in the movement in general. I mean, it was a very sexist organization, and yet, it was this combination of people. I mean, what made the UFW succeed in for the first time in effectively organizing farm workers was because all of these people were dedicating their lives to it. And they were volunteers from all over, and they were teachers, and they were lawyers, and they were students. And they believed that they were going to spend, much of their life doing this because they cared so much about the cause of farm workers. And so they were willing, and not just willing, but eager to kind of look the other way about things that happened that might compromise that cause and that movement. And that exists for years and years after they leave, right? So Chavez dies in 93. Throughout the 80s, there was really not much going on with the farm worker movement per se. Even Dolores left at one point. And yet people didn't want to speak out about things because they still had the hope that the UFW would do something to help the conditions of farm workers. And as long as they felt that was possible, they didn't want to say anything that might jeopardize it. So I think that her point about that, it rings very true, not just in terms of the role of women at that time and sexism, but also that ethos of being part of a movement where everything is subjugated to that cause.
What do you make of just the wave of cities and states or reconsidering renaming the holiday and places in Cesar Chavez's name and just like the immediate hours after this investigation?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I expected that to happen. I think it's something that people feel that they can do to show that they are responding to this. I don't have strong feelings about it one way or the other, but I do feel like I wish people would focus more on what they can actually do for farm workers. I don't know that renaming streets either after another icon, Dolores Huerta, or after the, does it matter if people drive down Farm Worker Boulevard? Is that going to do anything for people in the fields? I don't think so. So it's fine to take his name off of things, but, I hope that out of this comes some greater recognition of the need to actually sort of recommit to the cause that people, sacrificed all of this, their personal lives for way back when.
Miriam, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Miriam Powell is the author of The Crusades of Cesar Chavez. Up next, we'll meet the new general manager of community radio station KVMR in the foothills. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.